I'm Eric Thiel, and I am joined in the JPR studios this afternoon by the Secret Sisters, Lydia and Laura Rogers. Guys, thanks so much for coming by today.
Thanks for having us.
No problem.
You guys are from a small town, but a town that has this incredible musical heritage, Muscle Shoals. A couple of famous music recording studios that have been around for decades. Is that a heritage that you're familiar with growing up there, or did you even notice? Was it just like the Five and Dime down on the corner?
I think we knew about it growing up, but I don't know if we were all that directly influenced by it. We were more influenced by our family and the church that we grew up going to. But we definitely are aware of it, and we respect it a lot. We're proud to come from there.
Yeah.
You have family members, parents or grandparents that were musical as well?
That's right.
Yes.
Most of our family is pretty musical.
Yeah.
Professionally or just amateur?
Our dad is really the only one who has really kind of pursued it. He's kind of semi-professional. He just does it on the side for fun, bluegrass music. Mm.
How did you guys get started singing together?
We've been singing since we were little bitty, but we weren't ever trying to pursue it professionally at all. It was just something that we did. It was part of what we did in our family, and it just sort of happened.
It landed in our laps back in 2009. We were discovered by some record label representatives at an open audition that neither of us had gone to the audition thinking anything would happen. I went to get over some stage fright that I had, oddly enough, and they ended up really liking my voice, and that was kind of the beginning of everything. She came and auditioned as well, and it was just, ever since then, it's been nonstop. You know, we haven't had a minute to catch our breath.
You didn't audition as a duo?
No, not at all.
Not first. Not at first we didn't. We were walking out the door, and they asked us to sing together, and that's when we did. And that was the first time anybody outside of our family had ever heard us sing together.
It's been quite a ride since then. Your style has been called a lot of things: classic pop, classic folk, classic country, basically harkening back to the 1940s and 50s, from that kind of golden age of music, which is not exactly the kind of thing that you would expect to come out of a couple of women who are not particularly old.
Right.
I mean, where's the Coldplay, the Katy Perry, the Adele, all that sort of stuff?
It's just not, I don't think we have that in us for some reason. We weren't really, I mean, growing up, you know, we went through the typical phases that all our friends were going through, Backstreet Boys or Hanson or all those, you know, other embarrassing ones that we can't mention on the air. But you know, growing up, we were always so surrounded by this really great, you know, roots kind of country music. And that's just what really stuck with us and lasted up until now. And we're just happy to be singing what we love and what's special to us.
It's the Secret Sisters live on open air here on Jefferson Public Radio. Can we hear a tune?
Sure.
Absolutely. Are you ready?
Yeah.
It's the Secret Sisters live on open air here on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio, also streaming online at ijpr.org. You guys are from a long line of siblings that sing and perform together that have this amazing ability to blend voices together. But I have seen you in other interviews talk about how you think your voices don't sound that much alike.
No, not at all.
Really. I feel like we have really different voices when we sing separately, but for some reason, whenever we sing together, it sounds eerily similar.
Yeah. Being sisters and wanting to kind of stand out on your own. I think there's a little bit of that, not competition, but just like the need to differentiate yourself, maybe, you know. Mm. But I mean, I listen to acts like the Everly Brothers, and I think that both of them sound identical. But I'm sure if you ask them, they would say, oh, no, well, I sing very differently than, you know.
Yeah. Most likely a style of singing that was in your household as you were growing up in terms of how to turn a phrase and how to sing through syllables that you guys probably have both learned together.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I think so. I mean, I think it wasn't anything like Lydia said, you know, we weren't grooming ourselves to do this. This was just something that we just could do by default. And growing up together and always, you know, singing around one another, we just learned what the other was going to do, you know.
We have similar phrasing. The way we speak is pretty similar. So, I mean, I guess that's part of it as well.
What would you have been doing had this wave not kind of crested for you?
I would probably be a graphic designer. I was going to school for graphic design at the time. Whenever Laura called me about the audition, I was in my ceramics class at the time. But yeah, I'd probably do that.
I was a nanny at the time, so I'd probably be changing diapers and wiping runny noses.
Is the music thing for you something that your family has been encouraging of?
Oh, absolutely.
As it's grown and...
Absolutely. I think our parents were a little afraid at first. They weren't sure about how their babies could, you know, take the world. But, you know, I think they're realizing now that we're able to, you know, travel on our own and do our best by ourselves.
Yeah. Once it started.
They're really proud of us, I think.
Once the whole process kind of began, that's when we really saw everybody just kick in and, you know, do everything that they could to make it easier and a good transition for us. It's nice.
You tend to switch off on the guitar playing. You pass it back and forth. Is there a particular reason one of you takes guitar duty over the other?
Not really. Honestly, it's just like whenever we start, like sometimes we'll just be sitting around and I'll pick up the guitar and start playing some old song and we'll work up a cover of it. And just because I was the one who started playing it first, that means I have to play it on stage. I honestly wish that she would play all the time because I don't like to play guitar because I don't think I'm any good at it. But,
Does that feed into the stage fright thing?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I've had to really deal with my stage fright over the past year.
See, because I've heard from some performers that they like to stand behind a guitar because it sort of gives them a
protection, prop
to hide behind.
Yeah,
right?
Totally.
Yeah. Not for you, though?
For me, it's more of a distraction. It's like if I have to try to focus on sounding good on guitar and with my voice, it's like it's too much. My brain can't handle it.
It's the Secret Sisters live on open air here on the Rhythm and News Service. You guys ran into a couple of fairly big names in the music industry when you started working on your new album and a couple of singles that were released. And I want to talk about both of them, Jack White and T-Bone Burnett. But first, can we hear another tune?
Sure.
Absolutely. All right. Sure about this one?
Mm-hmm.
Do it.
All right. If you've got leaving on your mind, tell me now. Don't leave me here in a world
tell me now, get it over. Hurt me now, get it over. If there's a new love in your heart, hurt me now, get it over. If there's a new love in your heart.
It's the Secret Sisters live on Open Air on Jefferson Public Radio's Rhythm and News Service. So a couple of guys I mentioned just before the tune that you have encountered and have worked with are some fairly big names in the music industry, Jack White and T-Bone Burnett.
That's right.
How did a couple of girls from Muscle Shoals end up in a studio with Jack White and working with legendary producer T-Bone Burnett?
Oh, we were very lucky, that's for sure. We had already recorded our record in February of last year, and somehow it got into the hands of Jack White, and he wanted to get involved. And so I think it was June of last year, we went into his studio and wound up recording a separate vinyl through his label, Third Man. And it was a pretty surreal experience, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And now the songs that you worked on with Jack White were mm-hmm. actually released before the album.
Yes.
That's
and
right.
they have a much different sound. It's a
yeah.
much edgier, Jack White-y kind of
yeah.
sound to them.
Yeah.
Was that a bit of a misdirection for you guys, knowing what you had in the bag in terms of a full-length album?
I don't think it was. I mean, I think we were just, honestly, we wanted to just get some stuff out there. We were so eager to just, you know, we had no fan base. We had nobody knew who we were. I had friends who didn't even know that I could sing when all this started. So the huge urge was just to, like, just get some stuff out there. And I like that, you know, in hindsight, I like that we put out two completely different things, because I think it really shows our diversity and our influences and our ability to just, you know, we can sing a rockin' track with Jack White, or we can take it and do something really sweet and innocent like we've done with our record. Mm. So it was fun.
Did you know who they both were?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we were
definitely.
Big fans of Jack White before this
and
all T-Bone. Started.
And T-Bone. I mean,
you know, we had the Oh Brother Where Art Thou soundtrack.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, he's just legendary.
If you know anything about music, and if you love music the way that we always have, you have to know who those two people are. I don't think that if you don't know who they are, you're crazy, because they're so remarkable. And, you know, I think we're really lucky that they're working and creating in our generation right now. It's just... it's incredible. And to be lucky enough to have both of them involved with us so early in our career has just been a huge, huge gift.
And so is that intimidating for you to walk into a room where these two legends,
yes.
I mean, a young legend, but also just T-Bone Burnett is one of the most famous and most acclaimed record producers
right.
there is.
Yeah.
To have them in a room that you're walking into has got to just be staggering.
Yeah.
Really, really intimidating. And, you know, when we walked in there, we were scared out of our minds. But, you know, when they introduced themselves and we started talking to them, it's like, you know, they're just people like we are. They're
yeah.
just human beings.
And we all love music so much
yeah,
that when you have that in common, it just, you know,
right.
you get along. You just get along with each other.
Well, T-Bone specifically has had a bit of a Midas touch over the last few years. He worked
right.
on that incredible album, Raising Sand, with Robert Plant and Alison Krauss.
Right.
What kinds of things does he do specifically to the recordings you've made that make them better?
I think he has just really widened the appeal of our record. I mean, I think that, you know, besides just having his stamp on it and people knowing that he has good taste, I think
which helps, right?
Yeah, yeah, I mean, it definitely does, and we were certainly aware of that. But I mean, he did add things to the recording that I think made our recordings more listenable and more, you know, just smooth and really almost like an ear massage. When I listen to T-Bone's records, I feel like I'm getting my ears massaged, and it's funny because, you know, I listen to T-Bone's records that he's worked on, and not even ours, but other records. And he's got this sensibility to where when he makes a record, I don't get tired of listening to it, no matter how many times I listen to it. It doesn't hurt my ears. It doesn't get boring. And I think that he did that for our record, for sure. He's got those crazy good ears. I don't know where they came from.
Yeah.
But
I was going to ask you about that, because much of the music that you are sort of stylized after is this music that has lasted now for 60 years, 50, 60, 70 years, and really comes across as timeless.
Right.
Do you have, especially being so new to the industry as musicians, do you have a sense of what this album might be 30, 40 years from now? I mean, do you have hopes for it, or is it just kind of the thing you're focused on right now?
I think everybody, every musician has hopes yeah. that their record will go down in history as something legendary. But, you know, you never know. We just had fun with it. We were in the moment. We were brand new at the time. We were brand new Secret Sisters.
I think the best thing that you can do as an artist when you're making a record is just make the kind of record that speaks to you and that feels honest and pure and very true to what you do best. And, you know, if it becomes that legendary record that people are listening to, you know, 50, 60 years from now, wonderful. But, you know, I don't think Hank Williams wrote his songs thinking, yeah, you know, in 2011, everybody's going to be talking about me. I think he just wrote them because he wanted to.
The Secret Sisters are my guest live in the studios of Jefferson Public Radio. Let's talk briefly about the name.
Okay.
Is there a significance to the Secret Sisters?
A little bit of a significance. Honestly, and I don't know how many of the listeners have ever chosen a band name, but it's one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life because every name is taken. I mean, everybody has got a band or some side project or something. And so we started trying to choose names, and we really loved the idea of being the Something Sisters just because, you know, obviously that's a very classic name. So we started trying to put the whatever sisters into the blank, and the Secret Sisters wasn't taken, and it actually worked because, you know, at the time when we were discovered, nobody knew who we were. We had never performed anywhere or done any touring or anything, so.
What kinds of things were taken that you tried for?
Well, the Rogers Sisters, which you would think that that would be something we could just take by, you know, default, that was already taken.
There was actually one that we came up with called the Marble Trees. It's a story that, you know, we grew up, our parents, our mom's side of the family, they had this marble that they stuck into a tree when they were young. And that over the years, the tree grew around the marble. And most of our childhood at that house was spent trying to get the marble out of the tree. And, you know, we just thought it'd be a cool sounding name.
We went through so many names, though. I mean, list after list. And it was always this big hot debate between us and our label. And it was hard because, you know, when we went into this, we didn't have a name. If we had already had a name, nobody would have messed with us. But it was hard because, you know, you had label people trying to get you to do a certain thing and producers and managers. And it was just chaos.
Right. But I mean, for a while, I would imagine that people were calling you the Rogers
Sisters.
They were. Right? Because you were the Rogers Sisters.
Yeah, and now it's either the Secret Sisters or the Girls. When people say the Girls, everybody knows who they're talking about.
You are out on tour right now with Brandi Carlile and Ray LaMontagne. This is the last night of all of you guys together?
Sad.
What has that been like for you, traveling with two other artists and seeing how they go about doing things?
It's been the most inspiring tour that I've ever been on, I think. I'm so inspired by Ray LaMontagne. He's got so much talent, and we have loved Brandi Carlile since I was probably 16, 17. So to, you know, share a stage with them is amazing.
And they've both been so welcoming. Amazing. I mean, both of them bring us up during each of their sets to perform songs with them. And, you know, and there's talk about doing some more touring with Brandi in the future. And, of course, Ray, you know, we're always up for touring with Ray. They've just been so much fun, and it's been the best way to spend our summer. I'm sad it's over.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about your album. Before we do, can we hear another tune?
Sure.
Tennessee, me loving you, see me looking in your eyes. Tennessee, me wants to love you, wants to love you all my life. Let me love you all my life.
It's Tennessee Me from the Secret Sisters live on Jefferson Public Radio. I think one of the most complimentary things that I have seen about your album has to do with that song, and that it is one of the originals that yeah. is on the album. And the thing that I've come across is that a lot of reviewers of your album have pointed to your originals as being the best songs on the album, which has got to feel incredible considering the depth of the catalog That's right. of this wonderful treasure trove of American music you're selecting from. To have people say that yours are the best on the album, it's got to feel great.
It was really intimidating whenever we were making the record. You know, we would have been content to just do a record of all cover songs because we were very not confident in our songwriting. But when we went into the studio and showed everybody that song, they just felt like it was a winner. And it was intimidating for us as the writers and the, you know, parents of that song to try to imagine it standing up next to the likes of George Jones or Hank Williams or Buck Owens. It was really scary, but the final product was really nice, and I feel like it, you know, it does hold its own, I think, and I think it gives people a taste of what's to come for the next record for sure. So
yeah, you touched on it a little bit, but do you guys think of yourselves more as song interpreters or songwriters?
I think it's a little of both.
I want it to be both.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think we're getting to the songwriting part. That was something that, you know, it wasn't really a focus of ours growing up. But now, you know, it wouldn't be any fun to make a second record full of cover songs. It would be, you know, we feel like we need to differentiate ourselves and step out into that, you know, we are legitimate artists. We can interpret songs well that aren't ours, but we can also write our own and express things and tell our own stories.
We already have a few songs ready for the next record.
Yeah.
All written and ready to go. So cool. We're excited.
Is there something specific that you look for in songs?
When we're doing a cover?
Yeah.
A lot of it does have to do with whether or not you can put a really significant harmony part to it. We like to really let both of our vocals shine. I don't like songs where I feel like I'm singing most of it alone. Mm. I want to share it with her because I think we work better that way.
And you guys trade off on the guitar, but you also kind of trade off a bit on lead vocals on songs.
Yeah.
Does it kind of depend on where the melody falls?
Yeah,
like,
it
what
does.
Range?
Mm-hmm. You know, Laura has a really great mid-range voice, and I like to do harmony, so I usually do a lot of the harmony.
I like
songs.
To think of myself, if we were comparing ourselves to, you know, well-known country female artist, I like to think of myself as Loretta, and I like to think of Lydia as Patsy, because Lydia does all these great, you know, voice kind of things that are so fancy and beautiful, and I'm just more like straightforward, like I like to put my sass in there and my little country accent in there, and I don't know, I think that we've both got our own different style that when you put them together it works.
Might as well aim for the top, right?
When you're exactly.
Draw a comparison. So the album's self-titled. It's out on Belladroit Records. And
yeah.
and that's of interest in that yours is the only album on Belladroit,
yeah.
right? This is a new label that was basically created to release
right.
your disc.
Right.
How did that all come about? And why
that happened...
why not place your album on one of the 8 million other record labels that exist?
Well, it came about through T-Bone Burnett. And working with him, he actually wanted to, you know, start this kind of imprint label through Universal Republic, who we're signed through them, but he wanted to, you know, create a label just for the release of that of the record because he thought it was so special, and that was a huge honor, you know, to be the only ones on there and to be to have it created just for us. And it's neat because the logo for their record label is like two little girls holding hands, and it's just so Secret Sisters, you know. I love it.
When you guys are out on tour, either on this tour or when you travel to Europe, do you have a tour band that joins you, or is it just the two of you?
Up until this point, it's been mostly just the two of us and a guitar, but we're hoping by the end of this year or early next year to get a band in. And
right,
you know,
right now we are kind of, you know, we're still an opening band, and when you're an opening band, it's so much easier to just roll in and plug in a guitar and two vocal mics and go. But we're actually getting ready for our very first U.S. headlining tour, and we're going to have a band for that, and we're really excited for that.
Hopefully you'll come back and visit us then.
Oh, we would love to.
Can we hear one more tune?
Sure. Absolutely. Want to be wasted today? Okay. We'll do a song from our next record. How about that? Give you a little taste of what's to come. Here we go.
to the River Jordan, said the prophet to the king. Wash in that murky water 7 times and you'll be clean. Yeah, that deep rolling river's gonna make you new and whole, and the faith required of you will save your soul. Let's go down to the river, raise our voices in prayer, and get ourselves a snow white robe to wear. Take away the earthly stains, remove each and every one, in the name of the Father and the Son. Jesus said to John the Baptist, bury me in that cold grave made of Jordan's icy water. I will show them all the way. And a light came down from heaven saying, this is my own son, and I sure am pleased with what has just been done. Let's go down to the river, raise our voices in prayer, and get ourselves a snow white robe to wear. Take away the earthly stains, remove each and every one, in the name of the Father and the Son. I'm looking for the River Jordan, that old life-giving stream. Within its waves of mercy, sweet forgiveness ever teems. I'm a weary, broken soul living in a house of clay, and that river's gonna wash my sins away. Let's go down to the river, raise our voices in prayer, and get ourselves a snow white robe to wear. Take away the earthly stains, remove each and every one, in the name of the Father and the Son. In the name of the Father and the Son. Bury me,
bury me,
River Jordan.
It's the Secret Sisters live on open air here on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio. Their self-titled album out on Belladroit Records. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having us.